So, as I shared with you earlier, I am originally from Waianae, and one of the songs that's a prerequisite, or actually a requisite to know and show that you belong to Waianae is a song called Aloha Ia o Waianae.
Aloha Ia o Waianae, he malu I ka ulu niu, uniu ka olana o pokai, e nani ke ike. Aloha ia o Waianae, he malu I ka ulu niu, uniu ka ulana o pokai, he nani ke ike aku. Kukila kila ka ala, kua iwi ka ui ka ano, maile lauli ili he ala hui hui e panna kamakani he kaya ulu hea he mali e hui e ike ala o kawapuhi he pua ala o mai ka puana o Waianae ku hōme e hōme I aloha I a makoula e hōme poina ole haina mai ka puana o Waianae ku hōme e hōme I aloha I a makoula
for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, a lovely day here, and I'm excited. I'm 1 hour behind time. just kidding. Yeah, that was an interesting thing. We kind of threw polka a curve, but that's okay. We play hardball here sometimes, baseball. But I have, as you know, probably earlier listening to polka, Karen Owana, Miss Karen Owana, former state representative for the Waianae area in the district. And I'll let her tell you the specifics. But I invited her. I did, in fact, invite others along the way, but didn't get any calls back. The other representatives out there, I reached out to Cedric Gates, and for some reason, I don't know, maybe he's frightened of the loudmouth activists. You want to ease into the job, you know, or whatever. I don't know, but if you're listening there, Cedric, the invitation is still there in Tupelo. I reached out to her to share with her. This is a disclosure so that they don't think that we're being political in favoritism. And I went to her about the PCBs in the soil, and she told me that Victor Flint had conveyed to her that the matter was cleaned up and there was no PCBs in the soil. Now, all of a sudden, I've seen it three times in the news, and one occasion having a press meeting to inform the public about the PCBs that Victor Flint told that wasn't there. So, just in all fairness, I just want to make sure that if you call me and complain that you don't get fair time, then there's a doctor's office along the way. Many of them stop there and get something for it. That would be best I could do for you. So, anyway, Karen, thank you for joining me and my little radio show.
Thank you, Carol. Mahalo. Thank you for allowing me to have this, you know, platform and share with you, you know, some of the things that are happening on the Waianae Coast and being fair and transparent about that process.
Right. Well, I want to do it because so often I'm out there in Waianae and Nanakuli and Maile and that whole area, and there's a lot of needs, and as we see in many states or in the United States, certain communities don't get the services, or the money is diverted, and even to speak specifically to schools that are cooking inside, and the children are going into school to learn, and then they sweat it out of the schools, and then picked up along the way for truancy, and then have a criminal record. Mm-hmm. Would you want to go to school? So, if we can talk about all of those things, and the effort is to share with the listeners over there in Waianae and even in other places, but to say that people hadn't forgotten you. It's just a system.
That's correct.
That there's so much money, only so much available, and you got to have strong will and fight to get it and to address the real issues. So what are some of the issues that come to mind with you that are really problematic in Waianae? Why are we having disproportionate numbers of homelessness and that kind of things, and the traffic, the accidents, and all of that.
Hmm. In 5 hours, or yeah, how much time do you
have? Well, we'll steal one from Polka.
Polka, yeah, for next week. But, it's just a myriad of different issues happening in our coast. You know, education, as you were just talking about, you know, it's not one fixed situation, because what I've learned, for example, at Nanakuli High Intermediate School, and I'm sure that's like many other schools throughout our state, it's not just going ahead and funding air conditioning systems in the school, because then you find out that they don't have the schools don't have the capacity, electrical capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to create that infrastructure. So I think in due part, it's much of the infrastructural needs have not kept up with other areas on this island, in the area of schools as well as roadways, technology that's being used currently in some areas, but not many times the rural areas get left behind.
What allow the people in power to? I would describe it as misleading, because just like you touched on, the basic wiring, and I mean right down to the simple wiring of the buildings, are not sufficient. And we've talked about that, and we actually have some substantial inside material that, and we've talked about it on several shows about Jacobs and the Board of Education willingness to discard or dismiss the need. And they identify that you cannot put new computers and new smart boards and new TVs on this old antiquated system. And one guy said it's not even antiquated. It's just some wires that were in a thin wall system, and you'd have blackouts and fires, and it jeopardized. Why are the people in power not, Board of Education, why are not they not speaking out about that and telling us the truth? And instead, they're dangling this debate about cooling the rooms when they won't fix the rooms to accommodate that. If someone were tomorrow, say, we'll donate all the air conditioners that you need, free, we wouldn't be able to accept them at many of these schools because they're not aesthetic or properly wired.
And that's a systematic problem that the Board of Education, as well as the Department of Education, constantly has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are companies and organizations willing to come out and donate, you know, for example, the air conditioning.
Right.
And, you know, you get that situation where they're saying, oh, well, we have to wait. You need authorizations and approvals, and you have to go through permitting. And then 10 years later, you have the stack of air conditioners still waiting to be installed into a school.
Mm-hmm.
So in part, the community needs to like gear up our knowledge and just keep at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how other schools get it done. Have a strong education, parents and teachers. And I'm going to go ahead and say it again. It's really important of having the knowledge and the education of knowing how to get it done,
mm-hmm.
and the perseverance, the know-how. And unfortunately, that is the mere fact of it. Many times people seem to be going down a different road, which is not getting them to their desired result.
Right. Now, there was a debate where they were trying to get the governor to approve or sign off on monies for buying and purchasing air conditioners. Did part of that cost cover the refurbishing of the wiring?
No, definitely not. No.
And so I sat back, and I know the answer to this, and it's like, wow, they're playing with the future of the state, the future of these children, and it's like somewhere along the way, someone failed to understand that we can see through this, but they're not disclosing. And so the Board of Education, for example, Matayoshi and all, it's their duty. That's, mm-hmm. they're bound by the fact that they get paid. And then there's Schatz's brother who got elevated to leave no child behind. But if you do, don't worry, don't turn off the air conditioning because there aren't any. But I was at Waipahu giving a talk to a class there a while back, and I didn't understand fully what it means to be in a hot room. Well, I did that day. Flies, and it was hot and sweaty, and the teacher, as good as the teacher was in teaching, and the children were willing to listen, they were sweating. Mm. And all they had was a fan and a chicken wire over the windows where, you know, you could, if you were a big fly, you could come right through. Why do we, these communities suffer like that?
We shouldn't even have this discussion right now, Carl. I mean, it breaks my heart to hear what you went through. And we go through the similar situations where, you know, someone walks in and says, can you turn on the air conditioning? There is no air conditioning in this classroom. You're just going to have to tough it out like the students. And I think that causes that trickle-down effect.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no excuse of why students need to be in a situation where they're being educated in a classroom with 80, 90-degree heat and not have the ability to have a classroom that's, you know, conducive to learning, as they say.
Right.
A clean classroom. The temperature is optimum for learning, and when we look at it, perhaps that even reflects on down the road with people not being able to absorb the information because of all these, the heat and everything that's going on, you know, not gaining and grasping the full breadth of education. And later on you see, you know, in our incarceration statistics, you know, those areas. I'd like to really, well, I wouldn't pay to have a study done because I'd rather spend it in the classroom, but compare the incarceration rates to the level of, you know, education that they came from, because, you know, as mentioned in earlier, they come out with a sixth grade education in the prison system, they found that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a direct correlation that we need to go ahead and expend more money. Because you can see it in relatively the money that you spend for students in the classroom, and it will reflect positively in our greater society.
Mm-hmm. Now, I actually have the full study and all of the photographs that was conducted by Jacobs. Someone provided that entire package, and it's sad to learn that the Department of Education, for example, there was some fuse boxes that are completely illegal. Federal, I can't think of the name now, but they're completely illegal and should never be in the schools. They catch fire. We know that. And so the inspectors that was doing this work, and this is, I have the information, they are, let's say, giving a rating. So you go in and you look at a door, and that door has 20-year lifespan expectancy. They look at it and said, well, you give a rating. How many more years does it have? Well, they were showing up with zero. It has no more lives. But Board of Education told them, no, go ahead and give it a 20%, at least a 20% life expectancy. I have those documents. And it's really sad that something like that could take place. And, for example, one instance there was an electrical box conduit in the ground where the picture show the and the inspectors tell me that the water in the box from the sprinkler system, the water would be boiling and the children would be walking over these boxes every day. Mm. So that's on the Board of Education, and to not disclose that and say that, oh, well, we can't find money to buy the air conditioning. No, it's like we can find the money to buy the car, but we can't afford gas.
Yeah. Or we can find the shell of the car, but there's
right.
no engine.
No engine. And so why? I think I'm always suspicious of systems that they evolve from something that was wrong in the initial stages, and that is incarceration. We know, I don't think we have to do a study anymore on this, the children in this state. We have 49 other states that show that disproportionately children are low income, people of color, and people of various ethnicity are deprived disproportionately. And right down to the mere fact that a child can tell a teacher, child is 2 feet tall, kindergarten, whatever, and threatens the teacher, I'm going to beat you up. And it's, there are cases where the first thing you do is call the police.
Hmm.
You're not even incorporating the families or the parents. So you demonize these children. A record is a record. And you get older, that record, you've been a problem child.
Mm-hmm.
No, I would have been nice, but I was sweating every day, and I was uncomfortable and irritable, you know, like any child.
Yes, and to be at such a young age and to expect an adult reaction to mm-hmm. that situation,
yeah.
I would have thought the actual adult would have handled it differently.
But they're not in the mode of... They're, the teachers are great. It's the education system.
Yeah.
The superintendent, once running another entity, then is picked because of political needs, and then the brother gets of Schatz gets promoted, mm-hmm. and then we turn around and ask, well, why is our jails filled with disproportionately with people of color or Hawaiians? Well, I can't blame that on Schatz, but I can say I can blame it on the whole Schatz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just wrong. I don't know what it takes, because I saw this debate. We had hope, and I was thinking, well, okay, they're going to say also we're going to give another $60 million for improving the wiring in order to, they are compatible elements, let's say. You need, to order to have a good air conditioning system, you got to have a good wiring. If you ain't got that, you got nothing. So.
Well, you know, Carol, that only tells me that those who already have the infrastructure, which will more than most likely be the schools that are already getting,
mm-hmm.
quote-unquote getting, will get that new air conditioning system.
Yeah.
And those who don't have that infrastructure that sorely needed, that they've been waiting decades for, unfortunately, they'll be left behind. Mm-hmm. I can foresee it.
Now, let's go to some traffic here, not reporting the traffic jam or car that's stalled on H1, but the traffic on Farrington Highway in and out. There have been discussions about fixing it. Why so long?
Well, what I'll share with you is when I first came into the legislature, I had made requests as to what type of improvements are already ongoing in our Farrington Highway corridor. As the state of Hawaii knows, there's only one road in, one road out.
Mm-hmm.
And the response to me was, there's nothing on the books. And I was surprised. So what I did is, even before that, I served as a legislative aide in mm-hmm. that district for mm-hmm. Councilmember Apol, and we were discussing an additional turn lane.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with the engineers at DOT to see what could be done. And so when I came on board, I asked, where is that project? They shared with me there's no funding, no planning, design. And that was the first thing that, you know, I put as a priority, as a medium term. Short term would be to address the traffic lights, mm-hmm. to have it synchronized a little bit better, even if it meant to have the side roads, whether it be, you know, Nanakuli Avenue, Haleakala, the feeder roads, would have to wait a little bit longer so we could get that traffic, because at that time it was always, it would be normally back to Kapolei. So that helped where the traffic was moved closer to the coast, and that would be the short term. The medium term is this turn lane, which took 10 years for it to actually start getting into construction because of the Oahu Metropolitan Planning. You need to get the funding from the legislature. Everyone has to be in cohesive movement. You need to get the contracts out to bid, la-di-da, and that's what we're in the process of doing right now, is to have this turn lane. My long-term plan also was to have that Mauka Highway, a roadway that would get the residents in and out of the Waianae coast, because at the Black Rocks area, which is the very beginning at Nanakuli, that is your choke point. So how can we get the traffic going over the hill? We were successful in getting that on the list of major projects through the Oahu Metropolitan Planning. And then this is that other layer that not everyone realized the inner workings as to how these large projects, medium-sized projects, and smaller projects get put on the books. It's a lot of political will as well as community will, and everybody watching their projects and making sure it doesn't get placed in an illustrative list or a second list. And it's just, you know, the wherewithal to make sure it moves forward. Unfortunately, I wasn't elected into office, and, you know, meanwhile, that project has jumped down on the list of major projects.
It's dropped down,
it's
then
dropped
moved down
to the illustrative list. However, again, with your political willpower and the effort from everyone to say we need to get a Mauka Highway out, because it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. And in part, here we go with continued development in the Waianae Coast without the adequate infrastructure, and hence, you know, you have this traffic situation. You know, Ko'olina is growing, and areas like Maile and Nanakuli and Waianae population continues to increase. But we need the proper, again, infrastructure in order to get the cars going in and out, because unfortunately we don't have a perfect world where everyone can work from their home. They need to travel in and out of that corridor to get to jobs so they can go ahead and pay for their mortgage and the bills, and children need to attend their schools that they do if it's outside of the district, and hence this traffic problem that we have out there.
Here's what I really dislike about having sitting here as a radio host and then inviting people like you, because I don't want to project on you my opinions and you be viewed by the community of listeners that you condone what I'm saying or agree what I'm saying. So,
well, we can disagree sometimes. That's healthy.
But this is not about disagreeing. This is about I don't want to implicate you in my thoughts.
Okay.
And I have to say this, and making sure that the listeners understand this is me independently of you, nothing to do with you. And I say, well, let's take the rail. Now, the rail has been blazing trails and getting things done, the condemnation of land and finding land to route that, right? In just a matter of 6 years, Nanakuli, Waianae, its traffic issues have been on us. And isn't that funny that they can get that done downtown for the Walter Dodds and all the other people with money and the Horners and the Little Jack Horners and whoever sits in the corner counting his money? That's not right. That's an injustice. Why I said what I said up front, so that you're not brought into this fold of my thinking. This is Carol Cox speaking singularly.
I agree.
That is, we have such great hopes for Hanabusa was saying that she is now leading heart. Well, let me remind everybody, Hanabusa was a senator reigning from Nanakuli, Waianae, that area. And we're still stuck with the same problems that the cavemen had when they had here, and she represented that. Now she's moving on. Why didn't they use the same strategies to relieve that community of Waianae, Nanakuli, and that entire area of traffic woes? And why not safety devices? Death Alley is that. We've investigated a number of cases where people have been run over, hit and run, never arrested. And why don't we see the one family there at Lani, what's the Lululei, there where the Kentucky Fried Chicken and those areas, one gentleman and his two kids were killed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Right in front of the Sock and Safe?
Yeah, now, at some point, we have to view the people in Waianae along that coast as human beings with the same needs that those needed in Ko'olina, Hawaii Kai. And how do we bring ourselves to putting on a public face, knowing that problem persists there in Waianae and all those problems, and then present ourselves as leaders? How do we get away with that?
People need to vote in that coast. They need to engage.
Mm-hmm.
They know the problems. But unfortunately, we have one of the lowest voter turnouts in this state. And in the state of Hawaii, throughout the rest of the United States,
mm-hmm.
we have one of the lower voter turnouts. So we have one of the lower of the lower.
And
lowest
why do
turnouts.
You think there is such a low turnout? Could it be that they're discouraged? The process is so difficult? I mean, they're trying to eke out a living from 8 to 5. Is it built that way? Is that by design? Because we know that we accuse the Republicans of doing that, but is it also problematic in the Democratic Party?
Well, yes, I believe that our general population out there has lost hope in government.
Mm-hmm.
They've come to the belief that, why should I participate? Nothing ever gets done. No one ever listens to me. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, as I am someone from that district,
mm-hmm.
you know, my roots go long. My family settled there in the late 1800s.
But should you be punished for living there?
No, exactly. I shouldn't be punished for living there. But at the same time, I should be willing to go ahead and vote. I need to go ahead and engage and participate in meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And if I feel that something isn't right for our community, I need to get on the phone and I need to voice my concerns, not only to my area politicians,
mm-hmm.
but also the administration. Even if it means that I need to go over and beyond, because I already realize that I need to get up at 4 or 3 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
to get out of that coast. I need to make sure the bills are paid and my children are taken care of, and when I come home, everything needs to be done. Unfortunately, that's the part that we need to go over and beyond in order to see those desired results.
Let's take the natural setting, the natural flow of things as they work right now. Let's say I want to vote. I live in, I'm going to say, Makaha, and I go to work. Well, they don't give you a day off to go vote like they used to do in the old days. You could, even cotton pickers where I'm from got a day off to go at least exercise that vote.
Yeah.
But I leave Makaha and I drive all the way to Honolulu and I work. Now, I'm going to vote. I want to vote. I forget it. I'm participating in this system because I got problems. I want the person that I think is going to lead us out of this junk is there. I get back in the traffic after I get off at 5. I got to make it back to my precinct to vote. I believe that simple act of neglect on the part of state officials and the willingness and the failure to provide free-flowing traffic, I could make it back from Honolulu and get back to my voting booth. Now, one might say, well, why don't you go early and vote? Yeah, well, some of the precincts don't even open. Some show up with no ballots. Some, you know, and so is it really, how do we fix that? It's more than just people not voting, mm-hmm. and participating.
That's a good question, Carol. Thank you for that one. And I believe that we changed the law so you have like two hours or an hour and a half before or after your regular work shift,
mm-hmm.
that you're supposed to be allotted to vote, as long as you have that voting slip,
mm-hmm.
that says that you did vote at the polls.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, we do have other venues or avenues to vote. You can vote through mail.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go to voting areas during that non-official election date and vote at either Kapolehale or at City Hall here in Honolulu. So there are other accommodations that have been made, so you can go ahead and vote at your home. And if you don't feel comfortable, vote at Honolulu or Kapolehale, as well as vote on Election Day.
Mm-hmm. And so I would participate in that process. And then yet, why don't I be able to just vote by mail? And it has been a campaign. See, here's what's missing. Everybody's put things in place. And so they can quickly say, well, we have all of this for them. No. Education, 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 campaigning, just as equal amount of time and vinegar you put into getting someone to vote for you. It should be out there advocating and educating people. Here are the methods so you can vote while you find yourself cornered in traffic and restrained or going to pick up the children from the babysitter, which will bankrupt you or whatever. You can vote for. Where are those campaigns? Where is the ease to this, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, personally, my observation is that Waianae Coast suffers from an injustice at the hands of the people that are in power. Knowingly, they're willfully they make way for you, but they don't tell you what is in place to fit or suit your specific needs as a voter. So I know they got all kinds of things, but I don't bother to go to Waianae now after 2:00.
And that would be a safe thing to do, given the situation and the landscape of that area right now.
Now, I was thinking I was going to propose you and I should open up a lemonade stand right there.
Right,
we could make some money. We could make a killing.
Maybe even take out dinners while you're at it, right? So they don't have to cook when they go home.
That guy selling the dried akuli and
he
must be making a million.
Yeah, definitely. And he's always busy, so.
Yeah. But again, you take Parkair Road. Now, a portion of that is private, and then there is a portion of that is
city,
and a portion of but it was all eyed as being the emergency. Has it ever been considered to be the
second thoroughfare?
Yeah, has it?
As a matter of fact, when we were looking at that long-range plan to get people in and out of the coast, besides through the current situation, I had talked to some of the residents along Pa'akea. And if we're going to have a project of that size, it would be me not to talk to them, of which I did, and they had shared they didn't want to have the amount of traffic flow coming in and out on that road. However, I can foresee some changes where perhaps a portion of Lu'ulu'ulei can be used as a main thoroughfare, that stretch of that coming out of the Lu'ulu'ulei Naval Magazine Road area, and then actually using that route parallel to Pa'akea Road, so it could alleviate the traffic for those living in the Makaha, Waianae, as well as the Lu'ulu'ulei areas.
Mm-hmm. Now, at Lu'ulu'ulei Road, actually, private entities, in fact, Pine Ridge, the owner of Pine Ridge, owns a portion of Pa'akea Road.
Yes.
And an interesting footnote, Colleen Hanabusa represented that family or that company that owned that road at Pa'akea, while she was a senator. So, you know, I love my people there in Waianae, and I think they're some of the kindest, most lovable people there are. And it hurts when you see the trickery that's thrown to them, and then they stand back and go, well, you know, look, we put it there for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what are all the pilikia? Why all the nonsense? How can you be a senator and representing a constituent in court about a matter that's related to all of us for emergency roads and access secondary roads? I think the whole thing is hogwash.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the people in Waianae deserve better. The children deserve better. I see a lot of teenagers who with carrying a little baby. And we need all kinds of adjustment out there. Mental health issues, and we'll talk about that. And let's see. You want to take a call?
Sure.
Oh, don't panic. We got more time. this is the Polka and Carol Cox show.
Okay. Polka / Carol Cox show.
Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I agree with the Waianae and Nanakuli area and Makaha area. Not represented very well when it comes to the infrastructure and everything else. I talked to Representative Topola on another radio station,
mm-hmm.
and I asked her a question about the widening of Farrington Highway for her area, as well as the moving of city bus stops,
mm-hmm.
you know, accidents, people crossing the road. I told her that, you know, if you do this infrastructure, make sure you follow the American with Disabilities ADA law.
Right.
And make sure that it's in compliance with the sidewalk, the accessway to the bus stop, because, you know, these people who are elderly and disabled have a hard time getting to that area if you're going to move it. And that's required by law. Any new structure after July, I think, 26, 1990, when it was signed, has to be in compliance with ADA. And she agreed. I said, talk to Director Mike Formy at the city.
Mm-hmm.
As well as DOT at the state, and make sure that they do this, because it's very important. So I followed up with her a week ago, and she said she did talk to them, and hopefully they'll implement the infrastructure and whatnot. But it's very frustrating, Carol, when these guys do things like in 2012,
mm-hmm.
they change the bus routes, they eliminate some, put some in areas that never had bus stops. And they don't put the access way, like Kaiakili Highway.
Mm-hmm.
Route 65, they just put a pole on the Mauka side. Mauka side is sidewalks and everything by Temple Valley, but they put it right across the other side. And poor lady in the wheelchair goes across the street. She can't get around to the bus stop because it's all gravel and road. And then when she gets to the bus stop, there's no pad. And mm-hmm. she has to sit over there for the bus to go to Kaneohe, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's ridiculous. And they said, oh, when he brought it up to Clayton He at that time, who was the senator at that time in that district, he said, well, you know, we have to wait to see if the city's going to move the bus stops back to what it was before we can do anything. And right now, we don't have the money for it to do anything.
And what
a response.
And much of that bus reconfiguring the routes and all had a lot to do with the rail.
Yeah.
And the mayor is shaving money and keeping that money as slush funds.
Yeah.
And from various areas, the handy van, you name it. And
yeah.
And so, anyway, I as I said earlier, I that's why I like to avoid bringing people in, because I say things that it could be easily conveyed that they agreed with me and they don't agree. But yeah. I have to say it.
And every time the DOT comes on TV, it's always the deputy. Where's the director for the DOT? I don't know who he is anyway.
Hey, man, where's the mayor?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the mayor, like I've told the listeners, the mayor can, the audit for H-Power, major bleeding of taxpayers' dollars, major.
Uh-huh.
Sewage spill in Waikiki, major. You know when the what hit the fan. Where is the mayor, right?
Yeah.
But someone had a cookie baking contest, and damn, man, he was there. and KGMB, KITV, KBBBBBB, and CCC.
Yeah.
Hi, Mayor. How does the cookies taste? Oh, you know, when I was a kid in Waipahu growing up on the plantation, bull, you know, you never grew up. You're still behaving like a kid. You must stand up on the mountain that you stand on and view all people as equal and not impact them in a negative fashion to promote your causes.
And you remember when his daughter got in trouble for desecrating mm-hmm. Cayetano's campaign?
Oh, is that the same one that was supposedly smoking some marijuana too?
Yeah.
And, oh, is that the same one who then, you know, oh, this is the same guy who now making a big hoo-hoo out of the allegations against the chief of police and his wife, and yet all the money stolen and all the money that we have. Look at the paper today, the rail, the wiring, right? The 42-inch water main, you name it, the zoo, which we've talked about, and all that mismanagement.
Oh, the hippo, you know, the...
Yeah, it's not hip to be a hippo at the Honolulu Zoo, brother. But what I'm saying is that... we have been hoodwinked, and we are living still in the throngs of the plantation mentality. They own it. We just groom it and make sure we harvest the crop. Yeah. But people like, just to remind you, Kurt Caldwell is from the people that had money. He wasn't a poor boy.
And is it an old boy network, you think?
No, I think what we the old boy network still is living well and fine here in the state. Uh-huh. And for a man to be able to be mired in such big issues, fraud and abuse of in the audit show and the intimidation as the auditors show, and yet the TV stations don't
grab
him and stick a mic in his face and say, "You better start talking, dude. You out here telling us about the chief of police and his wife and some innocuous. You go on in the subject and you compelling him in your own way to come forward," as you may recall. I think he ought to come and tell us what to do. If you're being accused,
yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, and there's three letters that I always look at. It's called FBI.
Yeah, but you know, someone has to file the complaint. See, the FBI is an entity on its own. It just don't go around. I mean, I know some people believe that that they're in every garbage can, but it don't work that way. They still got parameters. And so I'm miffed as to how this mayor can parade around and be so mired in corruption and contradictions that then we're sitting at the TV watching for what the police chief has to say to defend himself on innuendos and the slander and allegations that are, have they been founded? Has there been a court, a supreme, what do you call it? When you
indicted?
Well, who indicts? Anyway,
grand jury. Yeah,
yeah. And I guarantee you, Kurt Caldwell wouldn't stand up to an honest investigation. If there was a legitimate, viable investigation, we'd see he and Mufi Hanneman and the rest of his people appointed go to jail. I really believe that. But no, I'm going to go back on my I'm having Karen here, but. I believe that this mayor purposely, because he know and they know the mentality of the mindset of the voter here, distract them with the BS. I was about to say the wrong thing here, but it's Sunday morning. But distract them. Orchestrate that. Get your friends in the media to and the guys that run the stations and get them to glad hand you and present you as the guy with the white hat and the white horse to ride in and save us all. And the guy that has a gun, the badge that worked his life to acquire that and accomplish that. And his wife, educated, destroy them. So people are going to focus on that. What a big, you know. That's like putting a porcupine in a balloon factory. You know you're going to get some attention.
Yeah, the chief's wife was working for prosecutor, kind of sure she's still there. And he has elderly abuse. And I read the article about Mrs. Fuana, her grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wow, isn't this elderly abuse?
Mm. Elderly abuse, what now? What do you mean?
Well, about the money that she was in charge of, Mrs. Fuana's, the police chief.
But didn't they win that lawsuit?
No, she won, but
right. Well, I mean,
her grandmother has to pay punitive damages as well as her uncle,
uh-huh.
$608,000 back, and they don't have the money to pay, so it's in appeal.
But it's in appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Who's appealing it?
The grandmother and her uncle.
Right, okay. So, but again, as it stands now, just because you appeal something don't mean it's true, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm a little concerned about the voter here. We read what we want to read, and we take half the play of the baseball game and say, well, our team won. No, there's six more innings.
Uh-huh.
You see. Uh-huh. And so I would caution all of you. And let's say this. This is what I beg of all listeners. If, in fact, we believe that the chief of police and his wife is guilty, then let's see that play itself out. But also let's ask that a major investigation be conducted on Kurt Caldwell and the rail and all of that from a criminal standpoint. Let's do that, too. Wouldn't that be fair?
Yes.
Because the airways are filled with all of these allegations. But anyway, and then while I got, I'm actually putting together a letter. Their officials reportedly are taking illicit drugs in some of the mayor's departments.
Wow.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be writing questions and asking questions, and we believe that just like the mayor, I mean, what's good for the goose should be good for the gander. And so we're going to ask the mayor to ask to have some of his top appointees to be tested for drugs. So that's how bad it is. But you won't have to address those issues if you got the public focusing on the chief of police, right, and his wife. Right. They're doing bad things. And then you run to the TV station. I think he ought to start talking. No, Mayor, it don't work that way. This is a democracy. So let me get the other call here. Thank you. Call, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comments. You have a question for Karen? Hello? All right, Karen, I took all of your time for this hour, but...
No, that was some really good discussion.
Go ahead.
I enjoyed it.
Sure.
Well, I would like to thank that previous caller for his insight on the bus stops, because I know with this whole contraflow coming down in Farrington Highway, it was interesting because at the community neighborhood board where I sit on, the direct Department of Transportation, Ed Sniffen, had said they're just, you know, exploring the concept. But as more and more you hear it, it's like a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
And at that meeting also he made mention that it would cost $300,000. And later we find out in the news it's $500,000. So I'm thoroughly confused.
Right.
And also there will be 4 bus stops that will be taken away. And again, as you had made mention, Carol, a lot of these people need these bus stops to get to and from work. And again, we're creating, I think we're creating more problems down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 2 of those bus stops, it's quite frequently used. And they'll be moving, taking away the bus stop, but moving a bus stop in an area that it is a pedestrian hazard that
mm-hmm.
I will not in any way condone, because it's at the corner of that Lululei Naval Magazine Road, right in front of the
yes.
McDonald's. You have the in-and-out traffic coming with the drive-through. You have people coming in and out of that shopping center, and you're going to put the bus stop right in the middle of it at that intersection.
Now, I tell you what really frightens me. You have all the trucks, because there's Pine Ridge is there, and every
heavily
single truck that come out of there, and then you have the landfill. And so I am perplexed as to why this community, see, this goes back to, this is about basic respect and basic believing that the people of Waianae deserves equal treatment as anywhere. Everywhere else they do traffic studies.
Yes.
But in Waianae, we just wait until they get hit and then treat them like zombies. Mm-hmm. And then we, for a news flash, oh, we got to do something about it. You put a bus stop near a major artery such as that, that's the caller hung up. But anyway, it should be viewed, these buses to Waianae and communities like Waianae, which should be viewed the equivalent to that sales in a human body, or delivering the goods, the nutrients. It's vital that buses be timely, so you can build a job around that bus.
Yes.
Be predictable. You can actually take your little kids and drop them off at school, get a transfer, hop back on the bus. But all of that is disrupted, and you're operating from the seat of your pants an entire community along that coast.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that plague, and no one wants to own up to those basic facts and those basic functions. Imagine how free Waianae could be if they just simply had adequate busing.
Yes.
And then feeding up the mountain. And unbeknownst to me, I didn't realize Waianae and that coast there has a number of houses back up in the valley. So
yeah.
How do they get back and down predictably timely?
It boggles my mind.
Yeah.
Unless they live and work at home, or they live and work in the same community.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can think of.
But there got to be a solution to it. I've been here 26 years, I think, and I've heard the same debate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not kidding you. It don't take that long to make a rock.
No.
1 second. Caller, thank you. Real quick, and you can call back in the next hour. Go ahead with your comments.
I'll call back the next hour. Thank you very much.
Okay. All righty. That's our good friend, Richard. But you don't have to rush out.
No.
Okay. So, but Waianae, it's one of the most beautiful places. And I hope they don't start promoting that, because that when you stand back and look at the cathedral valleys and mm-hmm. the amphitheater valleys and know the history of that, and it's like, wow. You can't jump to the conclusion and say that these are pyramids, but boy, it comes close to looking at some of the pu'us and see how beautiful these hills are and how majestic they are, and then look back up in the mountain and the valleys and waterfalls when they do come. That's spectacular. But then you get down below and there's all this pilikia.
Mm-hmm.
All of that. Drugs run rampant. I know someone has solutions.
Yes.
Who?
And we can do it. If we keep moving forward and keep at it instead of, I don't want to engage, nobody's going to listen. Nobody's going to listen if you don't say anything, if you don't get involved. And that's why civic engagement is so important.
Yeah, and a lot of people, one thing about it, people in Waianae, they rally, they come together. Some of it is short-lived. Some of it is case or situation-specific. But how do we get that and nurture it and turn it into a constant vigil where people are completely in tune to knowing that if they drop the ball, drop their interest, or their interest subsides? How do we, is there education process available? How do we reach out? You've been in the community and representing it for a while. How do we do that?
You know what I've seen? Not necessarily that it gets dropped. It actually evolves itself into something else.
Mm.
So groups that may have been involved in one particular issue or something, another issue comes out, they move to that issue. So they're still there, but changing in different shapes and forms and sizes for whatever that particular time that is needed for to address. But then again, it always comes back up again, and then they go back and they try and work on it. But it's, you know, that constant carrying that torch and moving it forward.
Well, you're listening to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, if you want to go to carolcox.com and pick up at live listening to it on the stream, live stream, or you can podcast the old shows of this show today anytime after 3. So also KWAI1080AM.com. Go there and listen live as well. And if you want to have a show or want to come on the show, give us a call. You can call me at 782-6627. And no subjects off limits. We just don't talk. We don't invite racist behavior. But other than that, the sky's the limit. We'll be right back.
That song, Aloha Ia Waianae, was written by Mrs. Abigail Pili'ao. And she loved our home so much that she decided to write that song along with some other songs. But that is the one that most of us know in Waianae. And actually, there's a lot of people in our state that knows that song, and they especially dance hula to that. Talks about the three greatest blessings, and that is love, hope, and charity. And the next song is another song that many of you already have heard or know, and if you care to just sing along, it's really nice.
Be
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. For the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Okay, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. And we call it the Carol Cox Show because I am responsible for my own statements, not those of my guests. And my guests are not responsible for my statements. So please listen and listen good. No, we have Ms. Karen Iwana, a former representative, a state representative for the Waianae district, Waianae Coast Side. And Joe Jordan, I had shared with you earlier, in fairness, to make sure that nobody complained that we're trying to serve up someone and ignore the other person purposely. You know how that is. People are thin-skinned, especially when it comes to owning up to being adults. So we've invited. I also reached out to Representative Joe Jordan, and because there's this business today at the state capitol because they're busy reading and reviewing bills. So hopefully she'll be able to come on and join us after the dust settles and see what happens. But there are many issues here, and we got a caller, and we'll go right to that. Caller, thank you for calling. You have a comment, a question, or questions for
Thank you very much for taking my call, always. And, Karen, I want to thank you so very much for being on. I take notes on almost everything I can. You said to keep at it, knowledge, education, engaged, lost hope, no one listens, participate in process. Often at the state and city legislature, only one person is registered to testify. It's all a gestalt, whether it's geographic or the concerns of any of the rail affects every single person in every geographic area. Hart has the power. They frame the argument. Horner could be the mayor and Caldwell could be the CEO. Makes no difference. They never did anything right the first time. The customer, the rider's interests are not their highest priority. There is no constancy of purpose. It's not for moving people. Salt Lake to UH Manoa, no, the transit-oriented development doesn't go through there the way they wanted it. If you can't measure it, don't do it. The Hart Board just took notes on the Hart Board. Dr. Anthony said that the new audit is a sloppy, cotton-faced lie, that it's because of pressure from Martin, a political pressure. And Formby, to his credit, said that it's not always political. We have to have fact-based decisions. This is the Hart Executive Board. Mm-hmm. And we were never given the correct facts about bill number 23. That's the general excise tax. Not accurate. No real numbers. Railroaded through the city council and the public.
Okay.
This Quan, the immense project, he is a vice chair, whatever, of the Hart Executive Board. It's too complex, and it's the largest project. He said that the whole process is like taking a drink from a fire hydrant. Back to the 14th century, Machiavelli and the Prince, take everything away, give them back a little at a time, and they'll get you into what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Never use your own money.
Right.
They use the taxpayer money.
So
and
any,
now I
any
would like to listen.
All righty. Well, you can hold on 1 second.
I will.
Caller, thank you for calling. You got a comment, a question for Karen, one of myself, or want to just talk?
To vote is a constitutional right. But the idea of being a good citizen is more than just the vote. It's the everyday life you live. If you're resourceful, you manage yourself right, you're a good citizen, you do what it takes. And many times people say, well, voting the right people in. The people who are in now, if we are good citizens, we would communicate with them. We would be there as stakeholders, as neighborhood boards, and whatever meetings are arranged for our district, be there involved all the time. Being a good citizen and being resourceful with what you have, because these people have been placed in authority over us, working with them, giving them our viewpoints of how we can make our community better is more important than just voting. If you vote for the person, but you don't have a relationship, a rapport with them as much as possible, so that these elected officials can feel the community and see the direction they need to go, the vote means nothing, because there is no rapport with the elected officials. The Bible says,
okay, hold on. Hold on. Are we going to have a sermon, or you want to join into this conversation? Hold on.
I know you condemn them, but if America was not established by them, we would not have this nation.
You see, this is the problem with with the Bible and the believers. I have no issue with the Bible or believers, but when you start projecting in such a fashion, it just takes being that you scampered away. If you got God on your side, you should be able to deal with this. But this is what I would submit. That's philosophically, that's a good thing to say, that if you participate in government. Let's go back to the basics. I don't think you probably listened to my show and understood or understand what I try to convey to you day in, day out on Sundays. And that is, yes, those that want to participate, the simple act of picking up the phone and calling the mayor's office, you are met with filters and screeners. You don't get to talk to the mayor. You get handed off. So we select them, and when you say we should go and work with them, just that simple act. We don't have no real need for communication specialists. We don't need that in the government. We have agencies, and those agencies have people that are clerks. When we want to see documents, we should be able to go, as the law allows us to, on an open day, to go there to view those documents and review. But when we are pushed aside and insulated from the mayor himself, is insulated by having public relations people and only speaking on matters when he wants to, don't blame us. And back to the Bible, I mean, it's so unfair and to your religion to pick up the phone and call a radio show and think that I'm going to cave in or start believing what you believe in. You've had many years to accept all of that, And I only have 1 minute for you shouting it out. So give us a break. I mean, I appreciate you and respect your beliefs, but don't come here with that kind of mindset because you might not like what you hear. Karen, go ahead with I want to talk to you about the contra flow. And because Richard's on the phone and you know, with the buses out there in Waianae, and can you I tried to understand it. Can you explain this new contra flow concept?
Well, you know, the deputy director came to our board and had shared about the concept. It was supposed to be a concept, you know, open for discussion. But when you see it in the media and the news, it sounds like it's a done deal already. We were told at the neighborhood board meeting that the cost for this project would be $300,000. And then recently I saw in the newspaper that now it's $500,000. And it sounds a lot like another large project going on right now where it's inflating as we breathe each breath of air. But with that, I've taken a look at the overall landscape, the pictures of this project, and it's extremely confusing. Like, I'm not too sure, Ed made mention that they're taking away 4 bus stops, but they forget to tell you that they're also taking away 2 crosswalks. But they don't tell you that when they're, you know, sharing it with the general public. It's very confusing. They'll have one lane going east in the afternoon, I believe it's. And this is another thing. One media says 3:30 to 7. Another one says 3 to 7. I'm not too sure if they're still playing around with the time frame of it. But if you're heading east, coming out of the Waianae coast, you'll have one lane. Mind you that there are bus stops that stop on Farrington Highway. They don't have a bus bay, which means everyone behind that bus will have to stop. And as Carol and I had discussed earlier, there's a heavily trafficked road where we have the PVT landfill has a lot of construction trucks coming in and out of the coast. So if you add those large vehicles leaving the coast, I can just imagine that traffic will be a nightmare for those leaving the coast. And I wouldn't be surprised if traffic would go all the way close to Waianae at the end of all is said and done. When I asked the director what would happen if, you know, is there a traffic monitor, his response was, it needs to run its course. You can't just stop. You're going to have to just wait until 7 in the evening until, you know, we go ahead and open up that second lane. I think there's other ways without causing this havoc. If a person wants to, and there's no left-hand turns in that corridor. So if I'm coming from Waianae, say, and I want to go into Helelua or Nanakuli Valley, I can't make my left turn. I have to go all the way near Laumania, which is unfortunately where that gentleman was recently killed. Make a U-turn, go through a city and county park over the bridge. So now people are further inconvenienced because you won't be able to park in your park. So if your child has sports, activities, you won't be able to park in that parking lot that you once were able to. And you'll have to go, and then you can't, then you have to make a U-turn, then you have to go up into Nanakuli Valley, up to, I think, 4th Road.
Right, the 4th Road,
make a left. On a roadway when people are parking on two sides of the street, so they're going to have to further inconvenience people on that road. I'm sure they're going to have to tell them no parking on that road.
And then that road, what, goes to Haleakala?
Haleakala, then you make another left to go down in order to get where you wanted to, heading west. So I'm not too sure how you're going to explain it to people who may not be familiar with, you know, this whole project. If it is going to take place, because it was supposed to be a concept, and I'd be interested to meet with the people who came up with this concoction of an idea.
Hold on, hold that thought. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or questions.
Thank you very much, ma'am and sir. Obviously, just another gestalt. It affects everybody in every conceivable way. And the power and the culture, an example of October 10th, 2014, from the Heart Board. Oh, Grabowskis gets a raise, and we think we've found a leader who makes tough decisions, who makes lemonade out of lemons, Board Director Terry Okanaga said. And this is the power that has enabled us to suffer so much.
Uh-huh. And this, Terry Okanaga is also with the Corporation Council, was, or something like that. So it's just one big soup of who's who and who knows who. And we're still stuck with the, as the caller that went away so mad. We're participating, but we're on the wrong receiving end as participants. See, you know, there's the employer and the employee. There's a you-know-what and know-what. But
the council gave Hart semi-autonomous power.
Right, so that they can hide documents and do things and scream, oh, it's privacy, so we can't do that. We're not obligated. Okay, hold on. There's another call. Caller, you there?
Okay.
Rick, go ahead, real quick, Rick.
Okay, I'll just say one last. This is all by design. There is nothing coincidental or accidental. Thank you, Karen Iwana, for coming on. It's just criminal. Forget about the civil court, penal court for them. This is all intentional. Yeah. Thank you very much for helping
I'm
all
sure
of us
we
out
might,
here.
I might hear back from him. We'll be on. We've got another 40 minutes. So, thanks, Richard.
Thank you.
So, traveling westbound at McDonald's at Lululele, people are going south now on Farrington.
Yes.
They won't be able to turn left?
No turning left.
Now,
so go figure it out.
Right, so McDonald's must be squirming now. And that whole shopping complex, because it's almost like putting candy in the middle of a freeway and leaving it there for near a playground.
Yeah, well, at that when they move that bus stop.
Yeah, when they move that. And then you got the trucks turning left. You got the cars coming from Makaha side. You got cars coming in making that right turn. You got trucks coming in making that right or left. And then you got people trying to navigate their way inside the shopping center because it's a grocery store and people got to eat.
Yes. So it is is somewhat of a pedestrian nightmare at the same time.
Right. Caller, thank you for calling. You have a comment or question? Hello? Hello?
Hey, this is Dennis in Salt Lake.
Yes. Hi, Dennis. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I don't blame the folks out on the Leeward Coast for being disgusted with our Department of Transportation Services. It's really an opportune time for them to think way outside the box and ask the new Heart Board Chair, Colleen Hanabusa, to give them rail. They're the ones that really need it.
Yeah.
So, they go rail. The guideways are already sitting in the base yard, and they have a... All they have to do is plant the pilings, and we know they can do that real quickly if they want to. So the idea is, does Colleen really remember her roots, and will she be able to deliver to her family and neighbors and friends in spite of the criticism that she's going to get? It'll save us a lot of money if we build west with the rail. And thank you for being there for us on this fine Sunday morning.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Go ahead, Carrie. You want to?
Well, I did want to say something. I can't speak for Colleen, and I'm sure you can't either, Carol. However, I'm sure if you invited her to your program, perhaps she can have that lively dialogue and discussion with all of us.
Yeah, I'd give her 2 hours.
Yeah.
If you're listening, mm-hmm. Colleen, I don't, you know, some of them think that the show isn't worthy, but if they only knew how many stories that mm-hmm. I do hear that leads to the big news, the so-called big news, the newspapers,
yes.
and you know, case in point today, you know, many stories. That,
yes.
So I always like to be underestimated. I love it.
I see your name quite often in our newspapers.
But they don't understand that, see, because I don't wag with them, mm-hmm. you see. So, Dennis, any more? Any other comments?
Oh, no, this is great. I hope all the neighborhood boards in Nanakuli and Waianae come together, and they just ask the mayor's representative to get over trying to get into Honolulu. It's too expensive. And take the rail out where it's really needed. And he knows that. So now it's his turn to act, and we get to vote on how he acts here in November. So,
right.
I know he's interested in staying in office, so that might be a way for him to do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dennis. I know originally, right, the rail was supposed to be headed further west, Kapolei.
Mm-hmm.
But when all was said and done, it got moved.
We go through Ko'olina.
Yes.
And then we go through Nanakuli and Miley to Waianae. Now, I'm sure the folks in Makaha are going to feel left out, but their bus could run every 15 minutes, and it's not that highly traveled except for the folks coming out of the valley there in Makaha. So, and eventually they'll get a rail, too.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you so much.
Bye.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Yeah, Carol, thanks for taking my call again. Karen, I read in a paper, I think it was 2 years ago, there was an article in the Advertiser concerning some group of people that were restoring their old railroad tracks in Waianae, and they were going to bring back the old train and everything else to have people experience what it was back then, the heyday. Did you know anything about that?
What I do know about the Hawaii Railway Society, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. With the road widening project, the railway in Nanakuli will be affected. However, the railway still exists in some portions. Unfortunately, it is a nonprofit, and I believe funds are... Maybe that's another discussion we can have on your show, Carol. But they're having financial challenges because, you know, they are a nonprofit, and the cost to repair a railway that of that nature is extremely expensive. There was some discussion with some community groups as bringing the rail from Ewa through Ko'olina and into Nanakuli, but, you know, that's just a discussion that I've heard. I haven't heard anything again. Talking about infrastructure, you need to fix that rail so it's operable.
Right.
And nothing has been done in that area as of yet, if we're just strictly talking about the Hawaii Railway Society. And then further impacted by the DiBartolo development that's coming up that will affect their ability to get from their railway station even into Kapolei.
Right.
So... hopefully there'll be some very good solutions that will allow them to, you know, flourish and prosper in our leeward coast.
Okay, thanks for the info.
Thank you.
Thanks. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, Carol.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Good. Listen, this is a short comment, but the mayor always comes up. But here is the epitome of his really racism. Here in Waipahu, there is a campaign sign, Filipinos for the mayor, Kurt Caldwell. And you know what? It just shows all the stereotypes. There's a picture of them in their plantation chopping the sugar cane, which isn't even here anymore. But I mean, and it shows, you know. You know, I'm all for the Filipinos, you know, and it's outrageous, you know.
Mm-hmm. I understand that he has, there's a couple of black people, too, that are going to do a poster, and they're going to be, we're going to be sitting around with watermelon and fried chicken. vote for Carlisle. He the man. He be the man. You know, and then there he is standing there. He's going to raise us from all hell and save us. And, you know, isn't that the style, David?
Well, you know, didn't he come from a plantation anyway? His dad was like a plantation doctor and all that. He has that mentality. And he says, oh, yeah, we know what's best for you. Just get to work.
Exactly.
Cut the cane down.
Federally, we did a good thing. We removed Andrew Jackson. from the $20 bill.
He's on the back now. He's on the back of the bus.
But David and I talked about this briefly. It's rather, we take it as a joke, but this is contrived and very brilliant on his part. In all of this chaos that we have now presenting themselves, one after the other, the only thing the mayor could find himself to tell us was about the chief of police should come forward and tell us what he did.
Oh, yeah.
And then put out these glamorous election campaign speeches and commercials. You ever seen anything like that? I mean, where's his humbleness? You think, would you do that at this time and point? Look at all those dirty guys over there. Everybody's just dirty. You can't trust them. They're local, you know. But look at me. I'm your savior, you know. I can lead you out of this like Moses. But look to me. I got blonde hair.
This guy is the best used car salesman you can get. I mean, if you want to get swindled, go to him. He'll swindle you out of it.
But see, now, remember now, though, he's not singular. He's a team. So there are other people. He's not that bright. I've spoken to him. I've watched him. He can't do all things at one time that he's doing. So there is a systemic and institutional support behind him and from all walks of life because they're in and we're not. Tomorrow he might invite his brothers from Texas and Mississippi and everywhere else to lead us poor little people out of the mud and our troubles will go away. But he's been about making decisions for us, 6-7 years?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, as a managing director. Then you understand.
I just wanted to interject that because I know you're talking about the Wyandotte Coast. And of course, he pretty much ignores the Wyandotte Coast.
But he don't ignore homeless people.
Yeah.
It's just sad, man. The great universe will find everybody a place eventually and set them straight. I can tell you. You might enjoy your trickery today, but trickery, Doc, you will.
Oh, yeah.
Your time will come.
Y'all take. Keep up the good work.
All righty.
I had to comment on that. If you're in Waipawa, they're on right on the corner there, Hiapo Street and Piavi, I think they call it. Everybody that goes on the freeway and they see that sign, it makes me sick.
Oh yeah,
I mean, can he see? This is racism, big time.
And he's perpetuating and advocating to be separate.
He's just kind of saying, "Oh yeah, you Filipinos, come on, I'm a nice guy."
So you think we're going to see one at the Starbucks with all whites sitting around drinking coffee and doing computers?
It was in Waipawa, right? Whites for
Caldwell, and then we're going to see another one, Chinese for Caldwell. We laugh, but remember now.
Yeah.
Remember institutional racism. And remember, Mufi Hanneman don't look like us.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Oh, sure.
This is where racism presents itself in the form of good governance.
Oh, yeah.
You understand?
Well, absolutely.
That's the institution that he is with. That's who's backing him. Mufi Hanneman didn't draw that on himself. He had other advisors, and apparently they didn't get the message that we don't tolerate racism. But what's the difference between Kirk Caldwell saying Filipinos for Kirk or I don't look like you or you don't look like me, we look different? What's the difference?
Oh, yeah. In our multicultural Hawaii, I just find it mind-boggling that this could be happening. I mean,
he don't really speak to us in depth anyway, so no.
He comes from that colonial mentality where of a plantation owners.
He reminds me of the stories I read where every plantation family would have buy a couple little black kids so that the children, their children could have someone to play with.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and make their beds warm and make sure they weren't wanting for much. So it's sad, and anybody don't like it, go turn to another station.
Yeah,
and,
as far as I'm concerned, you might as well just go down to Alabama. And
yeah, he is in Alabama, in his mind.
Yeah.
You know, white is right.
I'll let you go. I'll get back to you.
All right.
Interesting program.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hello.
It was interesting that, you know, rail keeps coming up as a topic of discussion. But it's true. And outside, well, here and here and outside in our greater Honolulu and maybe even the state, that's the talk of the town. I've been in a long shopping center and the cashier's bringing up rail. I've been in a doctor's appointment. The nurse is talking about rail. It is everywhere. People are just itching to share their views on it. And I've yet to hear a positive, unfortunately.
I think what's really sad right now, everybody's in a mode of it's happening to them. Out there in Copper Lake, see, it wasn't so densely populated. You had open fields, and then they went through Waipahu, and so, you know, nobody there apparently complained enough, you know, because they're all for Caldwell, as Caldwell suggests, you know, predominantly the Filipino. I don't know, but wait until it move on in and the people coming from Kaneohe over the Likiliki or the Pali from Kailua and realize that the connector streets are having to go around the Dillingham and as they're going to lay it there or Waikamilo and near the freeway. And then we're going to see some troubling. We're going to hear some screaming then. Then they're going to realize, oh, it happened to those guys. We thought it was their problem.
In addition to the infrastructural changes that will need to take place.
Oh, my.
Right? And then that's like another 2 hours or more, maybe next week.
So, you attended a conference, a session with that I attended regarding suicides. And my interest was, I've learned that they're high. For example, I wrote to the coroner's office and got some statistics and thanked them for helping me. Susan Falk, you call them up and you don't think you're dealing with a government agency.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with the people agency. They're kind, polite, and timely. I mean, they want to help. They, you know, so I just say a shout out to them. But
Department of Health?
No, this is it's a city agency,
oh.
The medical examiner's office. And just so happened I had on two occasions in 2 days drive out in Waianae, and I stumbled up on some medical responding teams, and it was a suicide in Nanakuli. Then another one near Makaha, you know, and so it got me to thinking and wondering, and I had been hearing there was some concerns in the community, so this is what they say. In 2011, and I asked for records back to just 2011 to present. 2011, 110 people committed suicide. In 2012, 123. 2013, 100. 2014, 132. 2015, 123. And in 2016, as of March 28, 2016, there were 22. So, what's going on? Let me just go right here. Here are some other stats on suicide from 1/1/2011 to 3/29/16. Gender, males 467, females 143, ethnicity, all other races 70, American Indian 0, black 15, Caucasians 199, Chinese 19, Cuban 1, Filipino 33, Guamanian 0, Hawaiian 5, Hispanic 3, Indian 4, Japanese 77, Korean 27, Mexicans 1, Micronesian 17, other Asians 2, other Pacific Islanders 4, part Hawaiian 112, Portuguese 1, Puerto Rico 3, Samoan 12, Tongan 2, unspecified. And the age range was 0 to 19 were 25 in that range. Mm. From age 20 to 29, 135. 20 to 29. And for 30 to 39, 100. 40 to 49, 102. 50 to 59, 102. 60 to 69, age bracket, 74. 70 to 79, 37. 80 to 89, 30. 90 to 99, 5. And there's more. But here's puzzling. In Honolulu, 279 geographically. Waianae, 35. Kaneohe, 33. Kailua, 30. Waipahu, 29. Iao, 25. Ewa Beach, 25. Mililani, 20. Pearl City, 17. Wahiwa, 16. Kapolei, 10. Waimanalo, 8. Haleiwa, 7. Kahuku, 6. Waialua, 4. Ka'ava, 3. Laie, 2. Haula, 1. Is there that number of suicide in that five-year period? And then that at that meeting, the presenter said something about Hawaii was very high in the states, among the states for suicide.
About the 33 percentile, was that our meeting that we had attended?
So from in Nanakuli, let's say, not Nanakuli, but the west side, what do you think? Do we need an advocacy group, or do we need money? Because there are many children out there, and we see a number of young teenager types causing harm to themselves.
Mm-hmm. And which is sad. And just to hear the numbers, those are lives.
Yeah. Right? So one is too many.
Yeah, one is too many.
But we're getting the hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
What has, in your earlier capacity, have there been any thought given to this? Is there any move afoot to do this, take care of this, or address it?
Yes, earlier there, I believe the front line was more on the area of domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
not as much on the suicide end. But recently, with a number of youth, we're hearing that had gone ahead and committed suicide, it has become an issue in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Just last week, I attended two meetings to discuss that particular issue. With Kamehameha Schools, also with, there was a meeting at Nanakuli High and Intermediate School to see what type of intervention
mm-hmm.
could be taking place. And I know that the school will be working closely with the Department of Health, University of Hawaii.
UH.
So there's some good movement to go ahead and speak with our youth in the high schools about this issue, having hotline. And again, it's interesting. We keep going back to the issue about education,
mm-hmm.
to educate our people as to what tools are out there, what hotlines are out there, to give them a venue or someone unbiased that they can speak with and not judge them and help them through most difficult time in their life for whatever the reason might be. You know, maybe
mm-hmm.
a divorce, maybe someone had broken up with someone, or whatever the situation is which causes them to feel like, you know, taking their life is their only option,
mm-hmm.
which is extremely unfortunate.
And then children can result of bullying. As you say, a breakup or
mm-hmm.
family problem. And I don't have the expertise and won't dare to clamor over this subject and think I even, but I'm hoping the UH people will come on. I offered them 2 hours to just come in, and because if it only helps one person, that's one family that won't be impacted by that, and that we all will benefit from having the education. But a hotline, 911, if you find someone's going to hurt themselves,
mm-hmm.
and what I learn from that, don't be fearful to intervene, that gathering, that UH
mm-hmm.
people, and very informative. I'll post their numbers up later, their phone numbers and contact, but it's just absolutely,
mm-hmm.
it's something's wrong.
Yes, something difficult. And like yourself, I'm not going to say the reason behind it,
mm-hmm.
but they have found a correlation with communities where they feel that there is no hope, and
mm-hmm.
there is no way, and how do I address this? And they feel like they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. They go ahead and do that. Unfortunately, in the United States, there's a. I'm sure that you're familiar with in South Dakota, in this area called Pine Ridge, where Native Americans. Hundreds, like 500 youth killing themselves, you know, feeling like they have no life, nothing to live for. Mm-hmm. And for them to go ahead and take their lives at that large, they're the poorest community in the United States, and they are a high percentage of Native Americans. So again, you know, we have our although you have a large concentration of Native Americans, they're a minority throughout the landscape, and similar to Hawaii, where we have a large population of, you know, Native Hawaiians, and the challenges that lie there, and the disparities that we have to endure on a daily basis.
And I know from some of these situations that I've become familiar with, transgender is involved, or the sexual orientation of the person is suspected as being one of the factors that causes. Why don't we address that? I mean, why are we having a system that lends itself to discrimination? And reality is, these are human beings, no different from you and I. We just have different preferences, and we should not be discriminating against them and make them feel that there's no hope, no future, no nothing. That's kind of a sad situation to know that we project on them to compel them to feel that way and hurt themselves.
Yes, you know, Carol, you're absolutely right. It's quite hurtful that those types of discussions are never like brought out to the open,
right,
and having healthy dialogue about it. Instead, there's hush and whispers, and, you know, after that person leaves, and instead of, you know, being a little bit more, being more forthright about what our issues are and bringing them out to the front. And having the value of, you know, a person.
Yeah, a human being. And that is, I won't even use the term different from us, just a human being, because it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And but to run away and treat it as if there's some problem, at the end of the day, when the phone rings at the emergency center, it's another human being that if committed harm to themselves and could have been avoided.
Yes.
More than likely, it would have been if there was intervention or a place that this person got proper help, and not to be feeling that he or she is ostracized.
Yes. Shouldn't be shamed and
right,
and pushed off to the side.
And then teenagers in school, bullying.
Yeah.
There's something suggested there's some of that is involved in some of these instances of suicide.
And I've been a proponent for, you know, anti-bullying initiatives in our school system, and I believe we were successful in introducing some, but we need more, and we need more education out there, you know, at the lowest grade possible.
And so what's puzzling is that we don't know the statistics of the attempts, because they become a private. We only know it when it actually follows through and that act is done. But how many? And then I've learned that some people are actually injured for life in the attempt, becoming a vegetative state. Mm-hmm. So the hardship placed on that family, on that person, and I don't want to sit here and pretend that I know anything about the subject other than an emotional approach. I think it's wrong that we do not have in place openly, where if you are going to file bankruptcy and you think that that's a problem with your family, it's going to harm and embarrass your family, there should be some means to go and talk and seek counseling with that person so that that person don't just harm himself and harm his family, right?
Yeah.
And if there's a person with issue of gender concerns, then should be able to go and openly talk. And the government should be funding this. Because
and also educating people that there are those venues or there are those websites or contact phone numbers or people that they can confide.
And they're out there, too. And like we said earlier about the voting, you know, if you can put it in place and say you got it, but if the people don't know how to get to it, you got to connect them to it. So, but more than anything, in Y&I, from an optimistic standpoint, what what should we expect? Is it, should we just throw in the towel or and just let government do its thing, or should we be encouraged, or you have any encouragement for people actually just getting more involved, mm-hmm, and changing the strategies, or any suggestions?
We have to keep on keeping on, uh-huh, you know. If I'll share with you some good aspects or things that are taking place, we've completed our track and field at the high school. We have a high percentage of obesity and, mm-hmm, and heart disease and so on. So we were able to get this track and field completed so that not only the school could participate in athletic activities or walking or running on a safe track, but also open it to our community, mm-hmm, so they can go ahead and have healthy lifestyles, be able to use the track either before or after school, and mm-hmm, also bringing community to the school and having that open environment. We've also worked on a library for, mm-hmm, our school, mm-hmm, not for our school rather, but for our community, for our whole community, a public library that they've been waiting decades for as well. And it will have a Native Hawaiian architecture. Mm-hmm. Also, when we're talking about LEED, I had requested platinum LEED, but they had told me that they can get as far as silver, and I'll take that. Having Hawaiian plantings or Native plantings on the school, on the library site, it'll be about 18,000 square feet. It will feature a business center, meeting rooms, also rooms where you can do video conferencing, or even because our Hawaiian language was an oral tradition, mm-hmm, having like a studio room where you could go ahead and, you know, film Hawaiian language so, mm-hmm, others can learn as well as understand our language. Outdoor program area where people can participate and maybe looking at the stars, or an event where people can share the hula, mm-hmm, out in an outdoor setting, an attached meeting room so people can have their community meetings in that area. So, you know, I'm so looking forward. I know that many people are wondering, you know, when they're traveling through Nanakuli, what is that black tarped area? Well, that's the site of our brand new Hawaii State Public Library.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that the community has been working for, looking forward to, and hopefully, you know, that can help turn the tide in many ways to create another hub where people can gather, have healthy dialogue, discussions, enjoy themselves, share culture, and, you know,
mm-hmm,
these are things that are taking place, should be completed by the end of early next year as well, which would be in alignment to the end of that that middle lane turning project along that Farrington Highway corridor.
Mm-hmm.
The expected completion date will be within the year.
So how about cultural activities? I just watched the other day, and it brought tears to my eyes, and we don't see this. We only see, well, chemo, Akana, Akimo, whatever.
Keolana?
No. I'm just giving the name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he was arrested, and he has this, and that, and his father was in jail. There's some good things going on in Waianae because they're good people anyway.
Yeah.
And nothing different from them, from Kauai, Kahala, Waianae, mm-hmm, or Hawaii Kai, anywhere. They're good human beings. Mm-hmm. And there is a project at the Heiau. And the children there from Waianae School, the Native Hawaiian Studies class, were out there with picks and axes and shovels and hoes and planting native species.
Yes.
And I mean, and the restoration, just the greenery and bringing back native, mm-hmm, plants. And it, what caught my eye was they weren't just standing around on a picnic. Mm-hmm. These were kids that, and I'm going to ask the teacher to come. I did invite her. And then there's Dr. Bruce, the botanist from West Hawaii College, Liwa College. And he's well known as a botanist, and he's helping them. And some of the most beautiful plants that you'll see, mm-hmm, out there, ilima, and all of that. So.
Oh, that's another good thing. And then we also have our kupuna,
mm-hmm,
that congregate So you need to get plugged in. They have various activities throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in particular on Fridays, if, believe it or not, at the Burger King at Waianae Mall, they all meet and they share the Hawaiian culture. They have lively dialogue and discussion. They play music.
Mm-hmm.
And then also later that day, they have events at Alulike in Nanukuli, another group of kupuna.
Mm-hmm.
They meet and they have gatherings. They engage in music and dance and song. And they sometimes they'll have a special speaker to share with them things about culture or just education in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a matter of, you know, getting plugged in. If there's any particular issue that you're interested in, you know, you might want to call around and see, you know, what's happening out there.
Well, thank you. And real quick, I want to, what you people talk about culture and it's disappearing and all, but how does it disappear? There's still Native Hawaiians here.
Yes.
I mean, it's not like they're phased out, but mm-hmm. in the common practice and the workings of everything every day, it appears that the system is systematically leaving you out purposely. So, Georgette Stevens, who was playing there's a letter she had published in the Advertiser, and include Hawaiian in voter notices. She's writing, I found it interesting that nowhere on this year's voter registration notice does it show our Hawaiian language. It has a lot of other languages that I am unfamiliar with, but I would have recognized my own. It is great that this notice helps other non-English speaking people to vote, but a better effort should be made to help our own people to vote.
Yeah.
The first step would be to have our language included. It saddens me as a Native Hawaiian to witness the processes that systematically exclude or do not reference the native language and those who speak it. It would be pono if the voter information card contained instructions or voter information in our native tongue. Mm-hmm. Well, just like we said, mm-hmm. it's out there, but how do you get it?
Yes. And that's, that educational component. And take heed to the departments. I hope they had read Georgette's editorial.
Mm-hmm. It was in the Star Advertiser, I think, last Wednesday. But I'm going to post it up on a link to it. But to
because
me,
it can be done.
Yeah.
It can be done. And as you know, you're well aware, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners out there are aware, that Hawaiian is a language equal to English in the mm-hmm. state of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Well, my advice, and we're going to close, and thank you for joining, Karen Iwana.
Thank you.
Is this. If you don't speak up for yourself, and if you're lulled into thinking everybody's nice, you'll see more signs. Filipinos for Caldwell, Chinese for Caldwell, and where are the Hawaiians? Mm-hmm. They don't exist.
Yeah.
That'll be the biggest lie ever told. But that's the system that we live in, and this is the type of people that lend themselves to this behavior, to exclude a native people. I'm sorry, but if... Join me next week. We'll talk again. And Karen, I want to thank you for coming in.
Thank you
and
so much.
And anytime. Aloha, guys. We'll see you next week.